Good morning. I'd like to welcome each of you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Bick, for that introduction. Brother Bick has been an example for me. I've watched him for many years, and I know he didn't want me to say anything about him, but I really appreciate his example as a father. Excuse me just a minute. Put do not disturb on. Okay. Ready now. I'm so happy to be here with all of you all. I want to wish all you fathers out there a happy Father's Day. And really, this is our theme today. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is just the ultimate prize for us fathers, that our children walk in truth, that they believe in God, and that they seek to keep his commandments. And so this sermon is trying to help us as fathers help our children get there. So are you equipped to be a father? What tools do you need to be equipped? You need an unction. What's an unction? An unction, and all the definitions I'll be giving throughout this sermon are from Noah Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language. Unction. An unction is a noun. It's from the Latin word unctio, from ungo, to anoint. So it's the act of anointing. It is an anointing. So if I need an unction and it's unction also excites to piety and devotion, or to a desire for righteousness, and it is a divine and sanctifying grace. So that's kind of general. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 talks about this unction. It says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." So this unction is given to us by God, and it helps us to know all things. In the Book of Mormon, talks about this unction, this gift from God. In 2 Nephi chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way," and we know that that way is through baptism, according to the word of God, "and receive the Holy Ghost," there's that gift. That gift, that tool that we need, the most important tool we need, one of the most important tools we need to be able to raise our children that they might walk in truth. And that gift, the Holy Ghost, will show you unto you all things what you should do. That tool, there's your tool to teach you those things that you should do. Back to 1 John chapter 2, in the same area that talked about this unction, it says, "But the anointing which ye have received," that unction, "but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So it's telling us that we need that tool. It will teach us all things. It will teach us truths, those truths we want our children to walk in. But we need to abide with that gift. We need to stay in relationship with the Holy Ghost. So once we're baptized with that Holy Ghost, we need to use it. We need to be with it. We need to have fellowship with that gift, strengthen that relationship so that communication is there and God can teach us those things. We need to learn to teach our children. Second Nephi chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in, by the way, after you've been baptized. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye can speak with the tongue of angels? So earlier in chapter 13, Nephi had said this. I think this is Nephi speaking here. Maybe Jacob, I can't remember for sure. So he had said this, you know, that after you've been baptized, you can speak with the tongue of angels. So what is this tongue of angels? And now, how can ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. So that's how we can speak the tongue of angels. What is the tongue of angels? It's truth. It's the word of God. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ. So angels speak the words of Christ, and we can speak the words of Christ, truth, to our children. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. It's our map, our guide, and that gift of the Holy Ghost takes us to the right places in the Word to understand what we need to understand so we can teach our children. What tools do we need to be a good father? The gift of the Holy Ghost. So important. If you haven't been baptized, seek God about that, and someone who can, a minister who can guide you and teach you about that, because it's so important to being a good father to your children, that gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Word of God is an important tool. What good works should we do with the tools that God has given us, that we've been given by God? What does the Word of God say about a father's responsibilities? Excuse me real quick. Hopefully my printout has. Nope. Seem to be missing. Well, we'll see where God takes us. So, missing half my sermon, but that's all right. So, we need to set the example. This is the most important responsibility. Show them what we believe by our example. I had some scripture verses here and I'm trying to remember them. Well, we will go on. Study the Word of God together. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, it says, "And all the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." We need to teach them what the Word of God says. 3 Nephi chapter 10, verse 21 says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Same thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." And Moses had just taught them the Ten Commandments. And so he said, these words shall be in your heart. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and then and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." These should be the most important words that are in your heart. They guide your life and your decisions, and there you set that example as well. And so these things should be taught diligently unto your children. Now, in the third book of Nephi, chapter 5, Jesus gives his own commandments, and he compares his commandments with the Ten Commandments. And he talks about the importance of his commandments being in your heart, that they will help you to keep the Ten Commandments. And I'm just going to give a couple of the commandments here, but we'll wrap these commandments up by this talk about the heart, that about the importance of these commandments being in your heart. Third book of Nephi, chapter 5, verse 68, "For verily I say unto you that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old, and it is also written before you, that ye shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger," and that word means, Raca means like idiot or worthless, "shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire." And so here, Christ is comparing the commandment, one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not kill," with being angry. And if you're angry in your heart towards someone, that could lead to violence and killing. So Jesus wants us to teach our children these commandments of the heart, what we allow in our heart. Verse 76, but it is written by them of old that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. And so once again, we're talking about those things that we allow to enter in our hearts, from our thoughts, our what we allow ourselves to look at, what we allow ourselves to listen to. Do we allow lust to enter into our heart? We need to protect our hearts from that. And we need to teach our children to protect their hearts from that. Behold, I give unto you a commandment that ye suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that ye should deny yourselves of these things, wherein ye will take up your cross, than that ye should be cast into hell. Train them, train your children to do right. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. This is in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. So teach them humility and fear of the Lord. It says they are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. What is the froward? The froward is not willing to yield or comply with what is required. It's being disobedient, unyielding, ungovernable, refractory. So it's not allowing the Word of God to govern your life. And we need to teach children that if they allow themselves to be the rebel, that there are consequences to that that will affect them for years. Verse 6, continuing in verse 5, he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them, far from these thorns or snares. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And I looked up that word old. Old is advanced, far in years or life. So it's not saying that they'll continue necessarily. You know, when they become an adult, they'll continue. But at some point in their lives, they'll look back on the instruction that you've given them as a father. And they'll remember. And they'll see the evidence that what you said was true. Encourage them to do right. So I had scriptures here about the importance of exhorting your children. Exhorting means a strong encouragement. I always thought exhorting was more like admonishment, a negative term, but it is not. It is it is an encouragement. It's encouraging your children to do right. And it's so important to be an encouragement rather than a discouragement by always telling them you're doing wrong, instead of giving them positive encouragement. Celebrate your child's success, always giving them due credit, giving due credit to God. So when when your child does something right, let them know you see it. I think I remember the scripture that was here. I think it's in Alma chapter 18, verse 2. And this is Alma to his son Shiblon. And now, my son, I trust that I shall have great joy in you because of your steadiness and your faithfulness unto God. For as ye have commenced in your youth to look the Lord, to look to the Lord your God, even so I hope that ye will continue in keeping his commandments. For blessed is he that endureth to the end. So if you notice here, Alma is first, he's celebrating his son's successes. He's saying, because he's identifying those successes that his son has. He says, your steadiness and your faithfulness to God. And he's saying he has great joy in him because of it. And then he also encourages him, back to the last, encourage them to do right. He encourages Shiblon, that as he has started out, he needs to, I hope that you will continue in keeping his commandments. You've brought me so great joy in seeing that you have chosen this way, and you've been steady and faithful to the Lord, and I hope that you will continue, giving him that encouragement. And of course, due credit to God here is that he's telling him to look to God, who will help him in these successes. Chastise, admonish them when they do wrong. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. And if you remember this, Hebrews chapter 11 is this chapter on faith, and it shows the example down through the Old Testament of all these people that had faith. And it's chapter 12 starts out, wherefore, seeing that ye are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And now I want to go down to verse 7. And if ye endure chastening, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So often we see our sins, and we see how they mess up our faith, and God deals with us as children, and we have the consequences for our actions when we sin. The same with our children. As God loves us and chastens us, we should love them and chasten them and speak the truth in love, not in anger. I want to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So don't chasten them with anger, but with love. And you know, a good example of that is Corrie Ten Boom. Right after Alma spoke to his son Shiblon, he spoke to his son Corrie Ten Boom, and he pointed out and he chastised his son. And he told him what he had done. He had gone after a harlot. He was a minister of the gospel, and he'd gone and committed adultery. But then he specifies what he had done. Not finding the part that I wanted to read, but I did find a part where he encourages him. I thought I did. Basically, he told him what he had done wrong, and he encourages him to repent. And follow those things that God had commanded him to do previously. So I'll go on from there. Our sister Irene Case, one time, I was asking questions about being a father, and, you know, I recognized in me the natural sorry, I'm a little having trouble speaking today. But my natural inclination, thank you, that's a good word. Inclination to criticize my children. And I noticed that, and that was a discouragement, kind of like I read in Colossians here, that I would always find the things they did wrong, and I seemed to always point out the things. And I asked her, how do you handle criticizing your children? And she said, Baron, I always found it best to sandwich a criticism between two compliments. And what that does is it causes you also to think about what can I compliment my children about, which was not my natural thought or inclination. And I did find that it helped my children to receive criticism better when I sandwiched them between a criticism between two compliments. Avail yourself of the counsel of older men and women of the church. There's an example of how I availed myself of the counsel of an older sister to help me to be a better father. Pray with your children and for your children. Let them hear your blessings upon them. And this, the scripture I had for this was that scripture that I think it's in Alma 16 that talks about praying over the crops of your field and your flocks. But then it says, pray in your house over all your household. And so that talks about praying out loud with your family in your house over all your household. And pray for, you know, throughout history, in the Old Testament, often a father would bless his children. And we need to pray for those blessings upon our children in their presence. Never give up on your children. Continue to pray for them long after they become adults. And for this, I have the parable of the prodigal son. And often we read this thinking about our Father in heaven and how he is with us as sinners. So let's go there to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And he said, a certain man, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no longer and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for thy son was dead, and he is and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, "Lo, these many years I have served thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, and that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." We see in this parable how our Father is with us when we've sinned, when we've been disobedient. He encourages us. He celebrates every right step. As this prodigal son, all he did was return. He also humbled himself. And his father celebrated that success, as we should celebrate the successes of our children. We need to be just as patient with our children as our Father in heaven is with us. Never stop praying for them, and never give up hope. May God bless you each this Father's Day, all of you fathers and your children, celebrating and honoring your father. May you follow the example of your fathers and be followers of truth. And may you follow the Father of truth and his Son, Jesus Christ. God bless you all.